Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
I'm all excited about what I'm going to be teaching on Sunday. I was talking last Sunday about the importance of the church. And I gave the example of Michelle and I in the times in our life when we were sold out to the church. Not just attending church, but we were sold out. Life was going well. But there was a lot of times that we would sit in church and we were attending church and we weren't sold out to the message and the move of the church. And during those times, even though we may have been attending, life wasn't working for us. I think that there's a lot to be said, and I'm going to be talking more about that, because as you stay in the church and you're sold out to it, there's just a real possibility that you're going to mature in the Lord. And as you mature in the Lord because you're sold out to the church, what happens is you start finding the principles of the Word start working in your life. But a lot of people get in church and they start trying to apply the principles, but they do it from an avenue that is not godly in principle, because they're not sold out to the church. They're sold out to what others see them as. See, they're just looking for how others would view their life. And so therefore, church has to be a part of what they're doing. And then the only reason they use the message of the church is to further their own agenda. At the ministries retreat we were at last weekend, she talked about, Susan Allen was speaking on this, that there's a lot of people out there that are trying to build an empire instead of build the church. And so I'm not talking about all that Susan was talking about, but I want to make sure that we're not sold out for our own increase, but for the increase of the kingdom. And in doing that, I'm finding that church people are the most critical people out there. And in being the most critical, we oftentimes are all about the grace we've received, but you know, we mature in the Lord and we start moving glory to glory. And so we're not in some ways dependent upon the grace at this stage of our life. Are you following me? Because we're living glory to glory, we're not living grace to grace. So we start living glory to glory and by the principles of the Word, and then we don't live on the grace of God, we live on the blessing and the abundant life of God. But what happens when you get to that point, you got to be real careful that in your maturity, you don't lose the ability to hand out grace in your own life. We lose the identity of Christ because we forget what was necessary. And for us to be Christ-like doesn't mean that we just talk about where we're at in our maturity. We've got to be able to dish out some grace for people who need it so they can see Jesus in us. Anyway, I got to get off of that because that's not at all what I'm talking about tonight. But if you want to hear more on that, you got to be here on Sunday. So just a little prelude to what I'm talking about Sunday. Well, if you have your Bibles, Job 17, verse 9. Job 17, verse 9. Our vision for this year, the righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that has clean hands will be stronger and stronger, will be stronger and stronger. You know, it don't matter which real translation you look at, where it's talking about being stronger and stronger. I want to go to Galatians 6:1, so jump over to the New Testament. Galatians 6:1 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path." Gently and humbly. Tonight's message actually just goes right hand in hand with what I'm going to be preaching on Sunday. And this is the verse that I'll be teaching on. "You who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Don't be misled. You can't mock the justice of God. You'll always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." Here's what these verses that I'm not going to reflect on them. I wanted to give a start because this is a building of where we are as Christians, what we are to do from this point forward, how we are to operate, what are we to do. I'm going to talk about, I wanted to give 10 points, but I couldn't get them in 10, so I gave 11. So I've got 11 tonight. So if you're like, okay, when's he going to get done? When I'm on 7, hold on, I still got some more. But I'm going to give 11 things tonight that I think are very important for us to understand. And the title of what I'm talking about tonight is, what am I creating? What am I creating? What are you creating in yourself? Ask yourself this question. How am I where I am at right now? And you might go, well, I got in my car and came. That's not what, let's get deeper. How am I where I am right now? I mean, what did you do Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? Why did you do what you did Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? Why'd you do that? Well, what have you created? What have you created? You know, I was praying over this, I thought there will be a lot of different responses to this in your own mind. There'll be a lot of different responses. Okay, some of you are going to look at areas of your life and go, well, you know what? I've created some real blessings. I mean, God's done some work, and I'm thrilled about some things in my life. But, you know, if we were all to be honest, there'll be other areas that we'll look at and go, oh, what I've created here, I need to listen to what's being said. Maybe I'll get some help tonight. That's the areas I'm talking about. Obviously, we can all point out the blessings because that's, and I love majoring on the blessings, but we've got to address the areas that we're not creating what's working for us. See, in marriage, there are some areas that aren't working for some of us. What have you created that got you there? But the bigger question is, what are you going to create after hearing what you're going to hear tonight? Well, I don't know yet because you haven't spoken. Well, listen, and you might hear something tonight that'll help you create something different than where you, my finances. What have I created financially? It's not really where I wanted to be. Okay, good. Then listen to what's being said tonight, and maybe there'll be something that spurs you to, from this point forward, to create something different. Well, what about my kids? Some issues, and I know they're spoiled. And I've just today, Ashlyn was out at the house, and Michelle was holding Adeline. And I leaned over to Ashlyn and I said, what are you still doing here? It was a little late. She needed to be at home. And I was, what are you still? Well, Adeline went to sleep. And I look over, and it's Michelle rocking her, and she's asleep in her arms. And I'm thinking, she's being nice. Michelle wouldn't give her up. But no, it wasn't it. Mom put Adeline to sleep, and I said, you're creating something. Of course, she didn't have a clue that I was getting ready to talk on this tonight. But, you know, after you hear a word or you're preparing for a word, everything relates to it. And I saw her, and I said, you just keep doing that. It won't be long, and that'll be the only way you'll get her to go to sleep. And I wasn't trying to correct her or anything. She goes, yeah, Josh rocked her last night to sleep. Enjoyed every minute. Mom was enjoying it, too. That's just like, that is not happening. Did you hear? Are you getting the point of the message before I get into the points? I'm looking for some, okay, what am I creating? I've got to know from this point forward, if I'm going to create life and the life that God has for me, there's some things I've got to address. Well, wait, I'm in church. Every one of us have areas. I'm not pinpointing one person tonight. Everybody has areas. It may not be finances for you. You may have saved since the time you were 18, and financially you're very well off. It may be that you are in a situation in your marriage that things are finally working. Well, I'm not talking about your marriage then. It's your attitude that you have towards everybody else. I don't know what it is. It's I've just got to figure out what to do in this area. Maybe it's your work ethic. You just, the couch and the potato chips are just inviting me all the time. I don't know what it is, but you're going to have to find an area as you can apply what I'm talking about tonight. First point, we are a sum total of what our daily choices are. You have to know that. All right, math quiz. How many math people we got out of here? I'm going to see who can answer this the quickest. Are we ready? I'm going to do it kind of fast, so pay attention. No calculators out. Leave your phones down. All right, here we go. We're doing this in our head. Quick math test. What is 3 plus 2 plus 6 plus 8? Who said that? Y'all give Adam a hand. Good job, man. 19, just like that. How many are almost there? I was almost there. Yeah. I was already there. I could have said it before you, but I had it written down. 19 is the sum total of these four numbers. Now, we understand when I say the sum total in mathematics. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say you are the sum total of your choices? Where you are at right now. A man was walking toward the death chambers of the Florida prison, and a reporter asked him for a comment, and he turned and said, "I am what I am because that is what I chose to be." I pray that everyone here would recognize that before there's a death in any area of your life. See, what a powerful comment this man made. I am what I am. That's what I chose to be. Whatever your choices are equals where you are at. People oftentimes wake up and they wonder why they are where they are. And then they act surprised. Oh, I just can't believe where I'm at. Really? You can't believe where you're at? You're a sum total of every choice that you've made. You're where you're at in location, where you're at in attitude, where you're at in every area is because of the sum total of choices that you have made. So why don't we want to do something different? Here's why. Second point, because we think there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. I mean, life is just a total of choices. I get that, but I didn't have a choice when I made the choice. That just kind of came. I didn't have that written down, but that's profound. You can't change the facts, Ashley. You just can't. The facts are, this is exactly just the way it is. The word create, let's talk about this briefly, means to bring into existence. The word create means to bring into existence. It also means to father or parent. It means to bring into being by mental, artistic, or spiritual means. But that's if you get in the dictionary. But let me tell you that the creator of the universe, we have a personal relationship with, if you've accepted Jesus and you're saved. So you have a personal relationship with the ultimate creator. And he created like nobody else. And see, only God really has absolute creative powers. What's absolute creative powers? Absolute creative powers is he can create something out of nothing. He can create, the earth was void, something out of nothing. God can create something out of nothing. Now, there's a lot of scholars, and we could get really deep and say, well, that's not really true. I'm not getting philosophical tonight. Just hear me what I'm saying. What God created, Adam, was out of dirt. And you know, you hear the jokes, well, we figured out how to create man out of dirt. And if science ever gets that far, wow, what amazing thing. The problem is God still made the dirt. See, you got the idea of the whole thing is, I don't really understand. How can God bring something out of nothing? I don't know the answer to that, and neither do you. That's why we serve him, because he knows way more than we do. But the thought would be in this point is that because God creates everything, I can't create nothing. And that's wrong thinking, because he made you in his image. And so you have certain attributes that God has. Only God can bring something from nothing, but you have a definite responsibility and help in the process of creation. Look at Adam. How much did he help God? And God gave him the responsibility. Could God have done it on his own? Yes, but he created man because he desired fellowship. He had already had a multitude of people serving him and worshiping him in the heavenly realms. But he wanted someone who could think, act, and operate on a level that he could have a relationship with. I have a relationship with my granddaughter, but it's not quite the relationship with her that I can have with BJ. She can't talk yet. See, there's a relationship available for, but God's wanting to mature some people in to a level that he can have a real relationship with you. But we only going to go so far because we don't think there's anything we can do about where we're at. But there is. Three, frustration comes when we find our sum of choices not working for our blessing, but for our ruin. Let me say that again because it was kind of big. Frustration comes when we find our sum is not working for our blessing, but for our ruin. This is called a Frankenstein principle. And I mean, there's a lot of different uses for this word when you're studying philosophy and social elements and psychology. But you can look up Frankenstein theories, and there's a whole bunch of them out there, but they all boil down to one thing. It's someone creates a monster that kills them. Frankenstein theory is someone creates a monster that eventually kills them. Is this not revelation to anybody? I mean, I'm like, wow. That's what we see happening all across the country. Here in the United States of America, we're creating a monster that's devastating us financially. Here in America, we've created a monster that's hurting us morally. We don't even know what restroom to use. I mean, you start thinking about the monsters we're creating, the Frankenstein theory starts making sense. We're killing ourselves. It's not God, it's not the devil. We're making choices. We are making choices as a church. We're making choices that we have lost the ability to meet on Wednesday nights and Sundays because society says those aren't important. Well, Frankenstein theory. Where we're at. A monster created that kills the creator. Number four, God gives you life. He gives you 60 minutes in an hour. He gives you 1,440 minutes in a day. He gives you 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week, and 8,760 hours a year, 8,760 hours a year. Everybody has the same amount of hours. God, let me say it like this. God's gift to you is time. God's gift to you is time. How many live frustrated with not having enough of it? God gave you a gift of time and we're frustrated with the gift. Wow. Wow. Why? Because our choices are being made in such a manner that as we sum them up, we can go back to three, it's going towards our ruin instead of towards our blessing. So our time, what do you do with your time can become your gift back to God. What you do with your time can become. You know what, let's just speak in practical. What do we love? I like to say I love peanut butter, but I'm quitting that. Now I like, if you find Jif peanut butter, it has cinnamon. There's a new kind. So peanut, hello, man. I'm telling you. What you love, you will find time for. You just always gonna know that. And the reason people fight coming to church is because really we've lost the love for the church. What you love, you'll find time for. Where's your treasure invested? Matthew 12:33 says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. And then right after that, he goes, you brood of snakes. How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever's in your heart, whatever's in your heart, come on, church, whatever's in your heart determines what you say. What's in your heart determines what you say. And what you say, let me just tell you what you say you will do. You come out of your mouth before you do it. You won't go on vacation until it comes out of your mouth, I'm going on vacation. What you say is what you will do. And so what comes out of your heart will determine what you say. Number five, with a checking account, and I'm just going to jump because I'm trying to get a point here made, and I'm going to have to move quicker. With a checking account, you must have deposited enough to cover the check. Does everybody get this? If you have a checking account, you have to deposit enough to cover the check. We handed out green pieces of paper on Sunday, and we had $1,250 that came in on little green pieces of paper. I'm expecting that to come in. Why? Because you got to cover the check that we said we were giving to Alvin. And we did. I need that to come in. Pastor, what are you talking about here? Philippians 4:17. Philippians 4:17. Everybody here knows it. Read it in a few versions. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. Paul speaking here, he says, I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. Philippians 4:17, but though I appreciate your gifts, what makes me happiest is the well-earned reward you will have because of your kindness. Here's the thing. Alvin appreciates, he said this and quoted this verse to me this week. He said, I appreciate the kindness of your people. But you know, my prayer is that will be attributed to them, the blessing. That they will receive a blessing. Not that I want a gift from you. I want you to receive the blessing for your kindness. That was a great point because we miss that a lot of times. We don't deposit enough to cover what we're giving out. And what I'm telling you is we've got to get to a place in life. Every man must live with the man that he makes of himself. Difficulty, obstacles, trials, frustrations are things that will show if you've deposited enough stuff. If you've deposited enough kindness, if you've deposited enough love, when someone comes up and says something, that will keep you from punching them right in the face. Why? Because I've deposited enough in the kingdom of God that I can step back and say, bless their heart, I need to pray for them. If I've deposited enough, come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? If I've given enough in the kingdom of God, and I'm not talking financially, I'm talking, you got to make the transfer here. I'm talking about in the kingdom of God, if you've given enough, then when somebody comes and says something that would be very offensive, you're so mature and deposited so much into the kingdom of God, it rolls right off your back. That's not going to get me. I'm not going to live offended by that. Why? Because I've already covered that check. I've already covered that. That's not going to get me. And so I think that that's one of the key elements of why you got to stay connected to the church, because the teaching tonight is imperative for people to live. It's imperative for the areas that you're not getting and how I can create in that area. There's one, deposit enough to cover the checks that are trying to come out of what you have given. There's always someone wanting more. And before long, they're making fun more and they're doing the wrong. The world does that. Many are capable. Well, let me back up. What number am I on? Okay, let's go to six. Let's go on. God never made you what you are. Whew, that's a tough one. Think about that. God didn't make you who you are. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? You made daily choices to make what you have become. God gave you everything you need. That's what he said in Peter. I've given you everything you need to live a satisfied, wonderful life. I've given you everything you need. The problem is we sit here and blame God for where we're at. God didn't make you where you are. Your choices did. Proverbs 20:11. The character of even a child can be known by the way he acts, whether what he does is pure and right. How many know that one to be true? You can watch a kid and you can know the intent of his heart. I watched a little boy the other day in a grocery store. It was funny, but it was horrible. He kept coming up and just whopping somebody right in the midsection. And he knew what he was aiming for. Who taught him that? And the parents are like, oh, stop, stop, and moving and doing all this. And I'm like, he just laughed, and his giggle was contagious. I mean, he just laughed, and it was, and I'm thinking, okay, that's not funny. Come on, everybody here's been right there. That's horrible. But it's so funny. Kids, the character of a child can be known by the way he acts. Don't think you're fooling anybody in the kingdom of God. Those that are more mature, and there's always somebody more mature than where you are spiritually. After hanging and being around you very long, the person that you are comes out. We think we establish thinking and behavior patterns. We think we establish attitudes and choices about what we'll do with the facts of situations. But understand this. The real reaction patterns come in life based on what you pour into yourself. What you pour in. You know, you are what you eat. Physically, spiritually, mentally. Number 7. I've wrote them in Roman numerals, and I'm trying to remember how to read them. That's a 5 and 2. Yeah. Okay. He who expects nothing shall receive exactly as he expected. This is one of those that as I write it down, in my mind I go, wow, but I didn't get the reaction I was looking for. Let me read it again. He who expects nothing shall receive exactly as he expected. Pastor, what do you mean? You know, you're going to get exactly what you expect, especially if you expect nothing. You're going to get nothing. Does a man think with his head or with his heart? His head or heart? What do you think? Let me just go out on a limb and say both. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a head thing. The other one's a heart thing. See, many are capable but can't get enough confidence to receive. I have, for years, got a kick out of helping kids in math, and I enjoy math a little bit. Probably not as much as Adam. I could have never got it that quick. But here, many kids in math are challenged. They are. They're just challenged. And anybody that's taught kids math or parents, come on. Have you ever, the older they get and they bring them home, you start getting, the kids bring home math problems. You're like, and you start trying to keep from hyperventilating because you go right back to your high school years. But here's the thing, helping kids in math. I would watch, and I've got several examples, and I wanted to call out some names, Tristan, but I decided not to. Did that... Oh, I'm sorry. I can pick on my own kids, right? I can pull out a lot of others. I just chose to use my own. They, not just Tristan, they, these ones that I would help, could always work each step of the problem and get it right. I was always amazed by that. They never had a problem with each step. It was just doing all steps at once. And I've watched the overwhelming thinking of, oh, I can't get that. And you go over and countless times with her, with others in school, I would go over and I would stand over them and I would say, okay, you tell me. Okay, well, here's what I did. I did this, and then I did this, and then I did this, and then I did this, and here's the answer I got, and then I did this, and this is what I, but it just doesn't make sense to me. Well, you got the right answer. I did. Yeah, and you might want to get some confidence because that's the way the rest of them work. They're all going to be, it's the thing that, it's too much all at once. It's just so much in this whole big problem. Just do this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. When you get the steps, you know how to do every step. Get the steps in order and you get the answer right. Oh. I got answers to every layer. I just need to get them in the right order. And then I'll have the right answer. Do you multiply? Do you divide first? Do you add or do you subtract? Well, when you figure that out, you'll be able to get the right answer. See, many times we just mess the steps up, but we've got all of the answers to every solution. I know what 3 times 3 is. I just don't know if I'm supposed to multiply first or add 3 and 3. Well, which one did you do? Parentheses does what? You know, you got to think. I know. Here's the deal. Without the confidence to live the life for Jesus, and saying, I am not going to fall. I'm going to stand bold. I'm going to do what God called me to do. Chances are your orders will get messed up. You're going to have to believe that you can do this. And you got to believe it in your heart and in your head. Number eight, some cannot realize the problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. I don't know why. After being at ministries retreat, I'm into all these one-liners. I just am, because that's the hall that I write down when I'm at. And so I'm like coming up with, let me say it again, because some of y'all are looking at me and going, oh, that's weird. Some cannot realize the problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. Some just don't realize that. Does your mouth expose heart problems? It does. Proverbs 18:21, everybody knows it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. There's something beyond the deed. What is the motive of our deeds? Do we allow our feelings, our emotions, our mind, will, emotions, do we allow that to dictate the situation? Or do we allow the situation to dictate our emotions? Just another one-liner, but think about that. Do we allow our feelings and emotions to dictate the situation I'm finding myself in? Or do we allow the situation to then dictate what we are feeling emotionally? If I can go in with a great attitude and to be determined that I'm going to stay with a great attitude, then I find myself bringing the situation to where I'm at. But when I go in and I start looking at the situation and the situation is not good, I start finding my emotions headed that way. And what I want to do is I want to let my emotions not lead me, but I want to have them steadfast in my decisions, and I'm not going to let this news take my whole day out. Why? Because I'm going to operate in the joy of the Lord. It becomes, in a way, where sometimes we don't think beyond our words. We don't think about what we're saying is going to ultimately be what we're doing, and what we're doing is going to sum up where we are. Did you follow all of that? Because I can't repeat it because I didn't write it down. It all just came out. It becomes habitual to even talk about ourselves right. Habitually, we have a self-image of what we think of ourselves, and it just starts coming out, and we don't even think about it. Let me ask you tonight, what is your self-talk? Let me ask this, how hard is it to break a bad habit? It's hard. Number nine, we're getting close for those of you that are keeping score. Here we go, number nine. Trying times are not times to quit trying. My daughter's like, I know she's rolling her eyes, and I just saw my wife do it. Trying times are not times to quit trying. Here's another one. When praying. Now I don't want to say them because I'm embarrassed. When the praying gets hard, pray hard. When the praying gets hard, pray harder. A famous artist was unveiling a masterpiece of a life-size rock statue of a magnificent muscular racehorse. A critic standing nearby said to the artist, "How did you do it?" The artist answered, "I just got a huge rock and I knocked everything that did not look like a horse." That's really profound to me. To go a little deeper with that is he got in his mind what he was creating, and he said everything else that's not going to be in that's got to go. You know, if you can get a picture in your mind of what you're trying to create and the life you're wanting to have, then everything else that doesn't go in with that life's got to go. And quit working in areas that aren't working. You've tried and it doesn't work. Get rid of that. Let's get something that works. So we got to get rid of everything that don't work. When a reporter asked Thomas Edison, how did it feel to fail 1,000 times in creating the light bulb? Thomas Edison said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. I found 1,000 ways that I won't do it again. I'm not doing that again. That didn't work. I'm not going to do it. How are you, number 10, how are you bent tonight? How are you bent? Everybody just has a little bend to them. I mean, I enjoyed last Wednesday watching Josh walk around with weights in his hands and get out of breath. pink weights that were Cynthia's. Walking around again. And then he picked this big one up, and I mean, he got it up. But you know, somebody else up here would have done a little different. If you hear Alvin preach, it's going to be a little different. If you hear Tim preach, it's going to be a little different. If you hear BJ preach, it's a little different. Everybody's got a little different bend to them. Melanie, her, he's got a curve. But I mean, everybody's got a different bend to them. And when you start recognizing that and understanding there's just a little bend to everybody, what's your bend? Well, how are you bent? I mean, you got to answer that question. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Hosea 11:7 says, my people are bent to backsliding from me. My people are bent to backsliding. They called them to the Most High and none at all would exalt him. There are some people that are bent to getting in church and then the next thing you know, they're out for 3 weeks. They're bent to getting their life right and then next thing you know, they're out again. How's your bend? How's your bend? Because you got to address the bend. You got to address how you're kind of wired. Well, what do you mean? What are your impulses? What drives you? What's your incentive? The act that drives you onward? What motivates you? What gives you energy, excitement? What are you motivated to do? I mean, all these questions are great to figure out how you're bent. Your predisposition. Well, what's that mean? It means to hold a particular attitude or to act in a certain way. You know, the way we're wired, how we're going to act, what drives you, what motivates you. Know this. Write down what you're saying to other people, and you'll start finding the way you're wired. If you get bold enough and someone you can trust that will say it in enough love, ask them, how am I bent? How am I bent? What? And they might have to have been here tonight, or otherwise you'll have to explain the whole sermon. I'm wanting to figure out who I am. But you know, oftentimes I think we're lying to ourselves who we really are. And until you figure out that there's a bend that you've got to address in your life, you won't address it. Matthew 12, once again, whatever is in your heart determines what you say and will determine what you do. Number 11, some of y'all take a big breath and go, whew, he's almost done. I am, and I'm right on time. It's insane to think that if you want to change, if you want change in your life, that you can stay the same. If you're wanting change, you're wanting to go to another level, it's insane to think that you're not going to have to change. You're going to have to change if you want some change. If you want to create something different in any area of your life that you've been working on creating, it's insane to think that you don't have to change, because change has to happen. Well, you got to free up Sundays. You got to work. And I know I'm bent on that right now. I just think that's the first step of getting the church the church. The church has got to be responsible. Change is going to happen. And sometimes we'll rebel against it and rebel against it. But know this, change can equal progress or disaster. I get that. That's why you want to be in church. So when change starts happening, we'll see it as a forward motion, not a backwards one. So change has to happen. You keep doing things the same old way, you're going to get the same results. Church, love is a learned behavior. Love is a learned behavior. Your kids won't just one day say, I love you. You will train them to say, I love you. I'm really big on this when I'm teaching parenting. You train into your kids. Now, you can train by example. You can train by force, and you're going to do this. You can train by hope. You can train by environment and putting them in environments where everybody says, I love you, I love you. You can train several, but if you'll do all of them, the chances of success are a lot better. Get it in every area. What you're wanting to change, get that in every area. If you're wanting to get the principles of the God more into your life, get it in every area. Bring your Bible to work. Start talking about him all the time. Get your smartphone to have something. When you open the screen, there's a Bible verse. Do something to get everywhere you are the word in. See, we got to get that in every area. If you're wanting to change what you were in this area and create something different, then you're going to have to be uncomfortable. We believe in the resurrection power of Jesus. And we got changed enough to get to heaven. Let's get changed enough right now to live the Christian life and be an example to this world. Ask yourself tonight, what am I creating?
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.